Welcome to the Crossing Church Podcast, your weekly dose of sermon messages.
Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 24. We're going to look at this beautiful portion of Scripture. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Wow. There's a lot in this portion of Scripture. And I love the fact that we've been preaching through the Sermon of the Mount. You might be at this morning and you might have the thought that, oh, you see, the Christians always talk about money. Well, I can guarantee you we are going to talk about money. And I can guarantee you that we'll talk about what God tells us to talk about. And while we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, we've spoken about a lot of good stuff. We've spoken about blessing and all kinds of things. But how many of you know that your money affects your life? So therefore, it's great that God talks about the thing that affects your life quite a lot. Because if he didn't say anything about it, then we wouldn't know what to do with it. And we'd get into lots of trouble. But if we trust that he understands what's at stake, he understands what's going on in this world, he understands what people's hearts long after. And if you've got an issue with money again, then let me ask you rather to start to have more of an issue with Jesus. And start being more concerned with Jesus rather than being concerned with money. Because if you're all about money, and if you're focused on money, and if you get tied up about the fact that we talk about money, then perhaps money is a little bit of a master to you. And today's a good day to forsake that master and to make Jesus your master. And then therefore, it's fine if anybody talks about anything else because the master has got something to say about it. And when we follow and we listen to him, our lives can be blessed. Amen. So, the scriptural context is important. We've been looking at, this is a small portion of scripture, but we've been looking at this wonderful aspect of the Sermon on the Mount. The teaching of Jesus is the highest teaching that can ever be given. It's the highest teaching that exists on the face of the planet. Would you agree? There's no one cleverer because he designed the mind. There's no one who understands the emotions because he designed the heart. Right? He knows what goes on in the world. He knows what happens everywhere. So therefore, to sit under him and to listen to him is to get all the wisdom you need to live a free and empowering life. Who would like that? The challenge is going to come to you. I heard, I don't know if you know who Kevin Peterson is. I love cricket. I love watching cricket. Kevin Peterson was a great cricket player. He was born in South Africa and played for England. And so you know that South Africa and England are involved in a test at the moment. And Kevin Peterson was giving this master class on how to be a great batsman. And one of the things he said he realized on one occasion while he'd been playing and batting in India, because the guys were getting him out more and more, he would go in, make a duck, get bowled out, go out, and straight back to the nets. And said, this is rubbish. How can I should be able to hit this ball. There it comes, and I can't hit it, and they're getting me out every time. So he went straight back into the nets, and he started to practice. And in the nets, he could smack the thing into the net every single time. Doesn't matter how the ball came, he'd hit the thing perfectly every time. But then when he'd go out into the middle, he'd get bowled out. And somebody said to him, take what you practice into the game. Don't separate the two. Can I ask you today, please, to take what we practice here into the game? Because the game is coming tomorrow. Monday's the game. Monday's when you look at your budget. I'm telling you, when the SMS says so much in contact, whatever, has been sent into your account, now you're in the game. The minute the bill comes, you're in the game. The minute you got to pay stuff, the minute you get this collection phoning you, whatever the case may be, well, the minute you get any income, any gift, you're in the game. Hello? So let's start putting into practice the things that we're learning and put it in the game, and we'll start to make runs where it counts. Hello? Who wants to put some runs on the board? You don't want to just get bowled out every time something happens. Well, let's start to put into practice what he's telling us. Perhaps Jesus is going to highlight this for us more and more in the safe practice area, so that when we go out in school, because you know what happens? We go out in there, we get bowled out, and then we come crying back here. And where do we cry? Over here. Jesus, what happened? You said this and you didn't do that. He said, well, okay, start putting into practice what I'm telling you. Yeah. And you'll start to see you'll be knocking the runs. Is that good? So, the standard, of course, is incredibly high when it comes to anything that Jesus teaches. You understand this? The standard is far higher than any of us. The standard challenges every person on the face of the planet. No one has got it perfectly right. But the key to this is this. When Jesus was teaching his disciples, and now he's even teaching you now, he knows that that's only part of what you need to be able to succeed in what he's teaching. You cannot do what he's teaching you to do without he himself in you doing it. And so when Jesus is teaching on the Sermon on the Mount, he's got thousands of people there and he's talking to them. He's talking to them about what to do. The standard is ridiculously high, but he knows there's a time coming on another mountain when the Spirit of God is going to be poured out onto every single person, because that's why he came. He didn't just come to forgive sins. Hello? Do you believe that? Well, let's stop making it all about forgive me of my sins, O Lord. Because there's way more to what he's come to do for us. There's a cross where he died, and he's the Lamb of God who sacrificed to take away all your sins. He has died for your sin so that you are free from it. You are forgiven. Do you understand that? Okay, but there's something else. He didn't stay on the cross. You can wear a cross with Jesus on it, but I want to remind you, maybe get a plier and pull Jesus off that cross that you wear around your neck, because he's not there anymore. He's got off the cross, he's risen, and he's seated on the throne. Come on. Hallelujah. Yeah. There's nothing like that. There's no one like that at all anywhere. And if he's seated on the throne, that means there's a whole other side to the purpose of Jesus, not just to forgive us of sin, but to empower us to live a life that is pleasing in his sight. Yeah. Hello? He doesn't just want to forgive us of what we've done wrong. He wants to empower us to do right. Are you with me? So when Jesus is putting out a high standard of living, he also knows this, that the only way that you can be empowered to live that high standard of living is if he himself comes and dwells in you and does it. He will never ask you to do something that he himself has not done. Isn't that amazing? You know, we can tell other people to do the dishes all day long, but there's power when you do the dishes. When Jesus doesn't ask you to do the dishes without he himself having done the dishes. You know? And so, when you read about these things, I mean, lay up for yourselves treasures. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Do you think Jesus had treasures on earth? A 33-year-old man, spotless, sinless, without any sin whatsoever, dying on a cross, seems like the greatest waste on earth. Wouldn't it be? I mean, what an amazing man. A miracle worker feeding 5,000, raising dead people, opening eyes that are blind for 3 years of incredible ministry, dies. Would you think that is a success in earthly terms today? If we had to give a ministry report on the ministry of Jesus Christ, it would look a little bit like a failure. Because we would have hoped that this fresh start would have become something greater on the earth. But hey, if it's all about the earth, then it is a failure. But it's not about the earth. It's about heaven. Then we realize it's a huge success. Because 2,000 years later, at the southern tip of the continent next to where Africa, yeah, we are sitting, worshiping that Jesus and listening to his word. Would you say it's a success? It's the greatest success that ever existed. And so, Jesus, he knew what to look at. He knew that his eye was the lamp of his body. That if he had to look at Pilate judging him, He might want to respond with darkness inside. But if his eye was looking beyond Pilate to you and I sitting here, dressed in white, as Curtis brought that word, that his eye was on something and it filled him with light. So that even in the darkest moments, he still shone the brightest. Isn't that incredible? And he didn't serve God. I mean, he didn't serve money. He served God. And Judas, who served money, where did he end up? Suicide. Because he had those silver pieces that he used to betray Jesus. He wouldn't want to take it, try to give it away. They said, we don't want it. And he killed himself. So there's a huge difference between serving God, serving money. Right. So the Spirit of God. We need the Spirit of God. Can I just say this about the Spirit of God? You know, in the Sermon on the Mount, we've gone through it. It talks about, it says, adultery is an issue, but it's deeper than that. It's lust. Hello? It talks about, what else? Murder is in the law. But it's deeper than that. It's anger. That's the real issue. Everything that the law tells us about is only surface level. Because what the law tells us doesn't get to the depth of the spirit of it. Yeah. Hello? So therefore, anything in the law is only the surface of what the Spirit wants to deepen in every one of us. Yeah. You with me? So therefore, when the law says something is wrong, the Spirit goes deeper and it says it's infinitely wrong. You got it? And then we look at righteous acts. And we've been over the last 3 weeks, we looked at prayer and fasting and giving. If the law says it's okay to pray in such a way, now the Spirit does something even more. The Spirit elevates it and brings it to another place of absolute humility and connection with God way beyond the law. And it talks about giving. The law gives us a whole sphere of giving. But now, under the Spirit, there's a level of generosity that is far greater than the law could ever attain. And when it talks about fasting, fasting is something in the law, but fasting with Jesus is a whole other level altogether. So guys, a lot of people are like, well, we're not under the law. Absolutely not. But we are under something far deeper when it comes to sin and far greater when it comes to righteous acts. Therefore, we need Him. We need His Spirit in us. When His Spirit in us, if His Spirit in us is grieved, then that's way deeper than the law. We could be obeying the law but grieving the Spirit. You know that. You can be doing the law just like the Pharisees did, but the Spirit inside, the Holy Spirit, is completely grieved. And you can be doing righteous acts according to the law, but the Spirit is completely grieved because you're not allowing the empowering of the Spirit to take it to a level way beyond what the law requires. So it's important for me to share these things. And I'm sharing them on purpose because Jesus was intentional. He brings this teaching to people who understood the law. And when people say, oh, we're not under law, or we're not, yes, we're not. We're now under the Spirit and we're under the lordship and mastery of Christ, which is far superior. Hello? So now it's not getting away with what looks right. Now it's like, is it deep inside? Is it right? And now it's not getting away with little attempts at finishing up what's clean on the outside. It's got to go way deeper. But now, I want to remind you of how the Sermon on the Mount started. The context again is important. The presence of God in us is only possible for those who believe in Him. Hello? If you do not believe in Jesus, His Spirit is not in you. You got me? If you believe in Jesus, that's what makes you born again. Born again is not get back into your mother's womb. It would be very awkward. Being born again is allowing the Spirit of God to birth Himself inside of you in a completely new way. Are you born again? I want to ask you the question. It's the question that Jesus asked. The church didn't invent the term born again. Jesus said, you must be born again. Who is born again right here? Now, I tell you what, do you know how blessed you are? I'm going to ask you this question over and over again. Do you know how blessed you are. You are born again from above. And I tell you what, God is not into abortions. Okay? Because he doesn't make you born again and then kill you before you reach him. If you're born again, you are born again. Bottom line, once and for all. Because nobody but the Spirit of God can create eternal life in you. Would you agree? So who's going to try snuff it out? You try. You'll never get it right. For the rest of your life, you know God's there. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how backslid you are. Doesn't matter, you're like, well, I don't know. If God's on the inside, you cannot escape the fact that he's there. Maybe you've been away from the Lord for a long time and you knew it because he was right there the whole time calling you back. You can fight that thing all day to your own demise. He loves you. You are born to him. He's your father, and he doesn't stop until he's got all of you. I mean, what an amazing king. Do you know how blessed you are? Do you know how blessed you are? And more than that, oh man, Jesus' perfect body, perfect life was sacrificed for our imperfect lives. His perfect blood was poured out to perfectly forgive us. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven. Blessed are those who dwell in your house forevermore. Psalm 32, Psalm 84. All of it makes sense in Jesus. Do you know how blessed you are that your sins are forgiven? Hello? Do you know how blessed you are that you are God's children? How great is the love of God that he's lavished on us that we should be called children of God? What a father. Do you know, do you realize, I ask you, do you realize the blessing of that? Ethan and Bethany, our adopted children, I have a paper written on it, which clearly states, Bradley Sheldon Lane and Sharissa Lane are, for all purposes, as if born to them, the parents of Ethan Matthew Lane, as if he was born to them. Signed, stamped by the government of South Africa, I have that paper. Do you know how hard it is for me to give him up? I can't. It's easier for me to give up Carter, who's born by my blood, of which I have no paper. Hello? I don't have a paper that says, I mean, there's a birth certificate, but everyone's got a birth certificate, but no one's got a paper that says, you my child and I'm your dad. Ethan and Bethany have that. Carter doesn't. Let me remind you, you're adopted. You're firstborn under creation, effectively under the control of the devil. You're adopted by the Father for eternity. Do you know how powerful that is? Do you know how blessed you are? Do you know how blessed you are? I've heard people say when these builders were busy at our house, and I come out, I give them some coffee if it's early in the morning. They're normally there at Sparrows, and come out, make coffee for them. And then they see little Ethan or Bethany running. And I remember one of the guys saying, wow, that's a lucky child. I think, yeah, blessed. Blessed. You know, we're blessed to have them. Yeah. Guys, do you know how blessed you are? I want to remind you. And so, you cannot be salt of the earth and light to the world unless you know how blessed you are. When you know how incredibly blessed you are, you start to shine for others. God never said this. He never said, please shine like a light and then I'll accept you. He never said, please be salt to the earth and then I'll accept you. How can you be salt if you're not salt? And how can you be a light if you're not a light? The only way you can be the light is if the light's in you. And the only way you can be salt is if Jesus is in you. So you are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. You influence others. You change things around you. You change people's lives. You change relationships. Why? Because God has changed you. When he's inside of you, it changes everything. And then he doesn't watch to see whether you're good at it or not to decide whether you should come to heaven in the end. He's promised you. You are his forever. Do you know how blessed you are? Amen. I don't know if you look like you don't believe me. I mean, am I not telling you good news? This is the good news of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, how blessed are the feet of those who have good news. Is that sometimes why it looks like you're looking down? You want to see my feet. You see how blessed they are. I can take my boots off. Then you'll see my feet. Then you won't be that blessed. I just want to remind you, do you know how blessed you are? Come on. I mean, just please, I've got to drive this thing down. You can think, sure, I'm blessed to be in the kingdom. I better stay in the kingdom to stay blessed. That's blessed. It's pretty blessed. But you know what's more blessed? You're in it, and you'll never be out of it. That's way more blessed. That's awesome. Would you agree? Which of the two sounds better to you? Which of them sounds like you can get away with a lot of nonsense? The last one. But let me tell you this. If the Spirit of God is inside of you, and you're listening to the teachings of Jesus, and you're allowing what's happened to inside of you to become true to you, you start to live in another realm, in another place every single day of your life. The Spirit of God has sealed Himself in you. He's grieved when you do wrong. He guides you to do right, and He never leaves you nor forsakes you. How good is He? Right, so I'm doing all these things on purpose. Because you see, when we are saved, you must realize you have an assurance of salvation. Do you believe in that assurance of salvation? Please have assurance of salvation. I want you to be assured of what Jesus has done for you. Do not be assured of your ability to keep yourself for Him. You do not have the hands that He has to keep you. You got me? The assurance is on His power, on His ability, on His life, His death, His resurrection, His throne, His coming again, His promises fulfilled, His glory, His praise, His worship. It's all on Him. Isn't it? We just surrender. We say thank you. We look. We agree. Wow, that's amazing. We receive it. We take it in. We let it change us. We let it live through us. That's what's coming to us at every level. How wonderful is He? But we've been saved. And we've been saved from this thing called corruption. How many of you know there's corruption in this world? How many know there's corruption in our government? Do you know why there's corruption in our government? Because there's people in government. You think there's places where there's no corruption in government? If there's people there's corruption there. Hello? You know why? Because corruption lives in your flesh. You can look at others and say, oh, I don't have corruption, they'd have to do that. If there's people, if there's flesh, there's corruption. You got it? Because when Adam sinned, curse was declared by God, who cursed the earth, the animals, and us. Amen? Have you found that? There's things in this world that are not so nice. Floods, fires, storms, rust. That's the corruption in the earth. Have you found that not all animals are like Yorkies? Even some Yorkies seem to have a bit of corruption in them. Yorkies sometimes think they're sharks. And you're like, oh, what a cute little thing. Takes your finger off. You know, there's corruption in the animals. I mean, God never made any animal to attack any man. But when man sinned and that whole thing spread like it says the fear was instilled in animals' hearts towards people. And that's why they defend themselves, and that's why they go for us, and they've got this wild instinctive corruption inside of them to destroy. And that's why it happens like it happens. But then that corruption's inside of us, folk. And Peter, when he stands up at Pentecost and he preaches, he says, save yourself from this world and its corrupt ways. How do you do that? Repent of your sin, believe in Jesus, and He will pour out His Spirit into us. His Spirit is the antidote to the corruption. The Spirit overcomes the flesh. The Spirit is eternal. The flesh is temporary. The Spirit brings life. The flesh brings corruption. So that's why we need the Spirit in us. When the Spirit is inside of us, we've got the antidote, we've got the fight, we've got the answer, we've got the thing that can break down the current state of affairs. And I tell you what, the Spirit inside of you wants to show Himself. God's not a God in a box. They kept God in a box sometimes in the Old Testament. He came out of that box, man. The veil is torn in two from top to bottom. Jesus, when He was died, was buried in that grave. You know, a grave is not somewhere where Jesus wants to stay. He came out alive and powerful and strong. And if you read the accounts of how Jesus looks after His resurrection, He looks completely different to how He looked before as a man on the earth. Jesus has fire in His eyes, hair like lightning, feet that glow like bronze taken out of a furnace. He's dressed in a robe dipped in blood. A sword comes out of His mouth which subdues nations. We worship You, Jesus. Man, I tell you what, if we were to see Jesus right now, we'd fall on our faces, and if He touches us, we can stand up. It's different, eh? The resurrected King, the glorious God. He's all powerful, but He's all loving, and He's all kind. And He's come to save us and set us free from the corruption that is in the world and in the stuff. All right. Okay, I've got to get to my point. We learnt about praying to the Father. Now, I want to change the words of the Lord's Prayer. Is that allowed? Of course it's allowed. I'm going to pray it like this. Our Father, who is in heaven, treasured be Your name. Treasured be Your kingdom. Treasured be Your will. On earth, in me, through me, as it is in heaven. Hello? He's teaching us to love something else. You see, because while we're in the world, we love the world. Even though it hurts us, we go back to that abusive thing. And it keeps smacking us around and we keep going back. And we're addicted to what it offers us and we want more of what it offers us, though that kills us, and we'd rather be on a drip for a day to have more of it the next day. Whatever it is, this thing is corruption, and Jesus is saying to us, I want you to start looking to heaven. There's a real treasure in heaven. He's a Father. Hallowed be His name. His kingdom, that's going to come and affect and change this world. The world's not going to affect the heaven. Heaven's going to affect the world. And so treasure that. Look to Him. Look to what He's got. Look to His will. Look to His kingdom. Look to His rule and reign. The kingdom of God is joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit who's poured inside of us. Who wants joy in this place? Well, do you know how blessed you are? Because His Spirit is inside of you. Who wants peace? Hello? His Spirit brings peace. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience. Who wants righteousness? Those are the things that flow from that kingdom, from that Father of His children, by that Spirit which is poured out upon us, by that Savior who's seated on the throne as the representation of our forgiveness of sins in heaven. He's pouring it out over us all the time. And we fall for the corruption. Hey? Jeepers. You know, you can buy a McDonald's. And you could take a bite. And you thought it would taste something like the picture. And it's like, all it is really is material to fill your stomach for a small price. But there's a table at the Father that's got delicacies and beauty and love and amazing things that He's offering all of us, and we fall for McDonald's. Come on, preach it. So good. Hello? So good. And lo and behold, if you've got one bite left and God says, give me that bite. I will, you do not touch my last bite of this, whatever that burger's called. Don't you know? Everyone knows there's a place called McDonald's. I'm sure they won't take offense. When they see Jesus, they'll never take offense. They'll be like, "Oh wow, He's much better than the golden M has now become the pearly gates." Anyway, and if it's right, I wanna just then say this. So He wants us to focus on what He treasures. You got it? Do you know that He treasures you? It seems futile to then focus on yourself because He focuses on you. But if he treasures you, could it possibly be, just perhaps, that he treasures the person sitting next to you as much as he treasures you? Hello? Could it possibly be that he treasures the person who's never been in church ever before? Could it be that he treasures the one that is so stuck in corruption that he looks like a thief? Hello? Well, he treasured you when you were a thief. Do you know that you were a thief? Every one of you were thieves. You rotten, stinky robbers. Because God gave you life and his glory and you never gave anything back to him. But he saved you and then you realize it and now you want to glorify him. Isn't that beautiful? So he takes the thief and he makes him a child in his presence. It's wonderful. So God is after more treasure. Do you know that he's a treasure hunter? And where's the treasure? There's treasure. Yeah, look around. It's a whole lot of treasure. Beautiful. I don't know about you, but like, if I were to get treasure, I had to stumble across it somewhere on a deserted island, I wouldn't want it to look like a few coins scattered around. I'd be happy with treasure, but I'd be happy with like gold bullion. Amen? Now, if he treasures us, and he also treasures what's hidden in Johannesburg, in the minefield called Johannesburg, the city of gold, where everybody's digging in the ground and digging in each other's wallets and wherever else they're digging for that gold. He's the greatest miner of all, and he's using us, his co-miners, co-workers, to go and find that treasure. The millions of people all around us who are stuck in the corruption of divorce, stuck in the corruption of things that have happened to them, bitten by stuff, rust has affected them, all kinds of things. Do you want God to use you to be a treasure hunter? Do you? So I want to ask you then to change your focus on which treasure, what you treasure. I have no way of getting through my whole preach. Yowza. Some people would treasure that if I just preached for another hour. Some people wouldn't. Like my babe. She's like, I've got to sit with the kids for another hour. Which she would do because she loves her kids. I'm on page 4 and I've got 14. I'm glad we relaxed, yeah. yeah. My preach will be on Facebook. Okay. Lord, help me. Holy Spirit, right now. I pray you guide me, show me what you want me to communicate in Jesus' name. Okay, so you're treasured. You've been ransomed with the precious blood of Christ. You've been bought by his blood. There's nothing more precious in the face of the planet, in the universe, than the blood of the Son of God. That's what he paid for you. It's more valuable than gold or silver, which perishes and disappears on this earth. His blood has purchased you, therefore you are valuable. And we don't take this lightly. And we don't take this kingdom lightly that he's purchased for us. And we don't take what he values lightly. Because if he values who we are, then we need to give ourselves to him. Hello? If he bought us with blood, should we hold back any part? If he owns your whole life, twice owned, because he made you and he died for you, and he's put his spirit in you if you believe in him. He completely owns you, outside in, inside out. He owns you. If he owns you, you are not your own. Amen? Therefore, give yourself to Him. So that if He asks you for anything that you have, it's not a problem for you. You will be able to give Him everything you have if you've given Him yourself. But if He asks you for something that you don't want to give Him, then perhaps you haven't given yourself to Him. Because you can't stand opposed to God, arm wrestling over your stuff. Rather stand in God and recognize that everything He has is yours, and everything that you have is therefore His. If His own Son is yours, if heaven is yours, if all the glory for us to share, He's saying, I'm going to give it to you. Then how could we respond? How should we respond? I give it to you, God. There's coming a day when there will be a judgment for everyone. Why? Because God is a good accountant. And what He's blessed us with in value, He would like us to be good stewards of and return it to Him well invested. Amen? He's a good accountant. He's not willy-nilly throwing things away that He has no purpose for. So therefore, everything that He gives us, we're going to give an account for. Hello? Who likes that? Now, listen to this on Judgment Day. According to the grace of God given to me, this is Paul talking, I, like a skilled master builder, have laid a foundation and someone else is building on it. Let each one take care how he builds on it, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, straw, hay, each one's work will become manifest, for the day, judgment day, the day of accounting, will disclose it, because it will be manifest. It will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what kind of work each one has done. And if the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. And if anyone's work is burnt up, he will suffer loss, though he himself is saved, but only as one who's escaped the fire. Do you not know that you are God's temple and God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God destroys him. But if anyone, for God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. So you are a temple. God's Spirit dwells in you. As you focus on building each other up, and you focus on seeing lost people made of wood, straw, and hay, who will never make it through the fire on the last day, as you see them receive the faith which is more precious than gold, come into the kingdom on the foundation of Jesus Christ, that becomes a reward. There couldn't be anything more rewarding for me than to see all of you on the day of judgment standing secured and safe because of your salvation in Jesus Christ. Couldn't it be anything more rewarding for me in the face of the planet than somehow He used me to preach His word to you, and your faith was strong like gold, so that when you tested, you survived, and I say, my God, you used me for that. Yeah. Amen. Hello? And you yourself will see that everything you've done, everything that you've given, everything that you've said, everything that you've action that you've done, every glass of water for a child that's thirsty, all of it, producing faith, will be like gold and precious stones, that when your life and everything that you've done is tested, it will account for something, either nothing if it's burnt up and you yourself are saved, having just enjoyed the door of salvation and never beyond, or you've made everything that you've got count and you see the glory of the reward. Now let me ask you, please. Who's more pleased? When I reward my child, who's more pleased, me or my child? Amen? Some answers? Hello? Me. Am I right? Who's more pleased? God, who rewards you, or you? God. So therefore, if you live for the pleasure of God, then live for the reward, because it's going to please Him to give it. So it's not selfish. It's worship and glory to Him. And if we know that the reward is people,
And we know that the reward is souls saved, and we know that the reward is saints being strengthened in their faith, that even when I stand in front here and I worship God, that someone else's heart somehow wants to worship God a little bit more, that my little act of raising my hands in the front of a church has actually resulted in reward. Hello? That when I honor the Lord with my tithe, that when I go to a life group, that when I open my Bible and I go and I tell someone about Jesus, or I just do an act that's a display to someone else anywhere, and somebody says, I want what you've got. Will you tell me what you have? It all becomes rewarding. How wonderful. Oh God. Your treasure is where your heart will be. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is on Him, His light shines through your eye, and this lamp fills your whole body with light. If your eye is on your money and on your stuff, on your possessions, on your power, on your praise by others for how the nice thing you have, the nice place where you live, if it's all there, your eye is on something that's dark, and how dark is the darkness inside. Therefore, you cannot serve God and money, because you'll be devoted to the one and almost despise the other, you give it away. Or you'll be devoted to that one and despise the other. That's why I can preach on money and tithing and all these kind of things every single week. For you to be free completely. One day you will be free of it and you'll say, thank you. And maybe the things that you do in that space will result in so much reward in heaven that you'll say, thank you. Or it's all burnt up, it's all burnt away, it was all about the earth passed away, and nothing left. Guys, if we start to live with heaven and hell in mind, and future and reward and judgment seat in mind, it changes how you live today. So I want to encourage you, fill the bank of heaven. Jesus spoke 2,350 times about money and 300 times about faith. Why? Because he knew he had to deal with the thing that we all love so much more to get us to the point where we believe. In fact, you just had to say, have faith once. So I want you all to be free. I want your hearts to be free. Will you make a choice today? Can we stand together? Maybe we can play some music there, Noel, if you're happy to. We don't have to. I'm happy that the weight of the scripture is doing some work in our hearts. Hello? I don't have to fluff it up. I don't have to make it more pretty. I don't have to say something nice for you to feel at ease. I think the word of God needs to do what it needs to do, because you will feel at ease when you do what it says you must do and you step into what it says, you know, and you'll have what it says you'll have. So, Colossians 3 verse 1 to 4 says, if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. So set your mind on things above. The Bible doesn't say we must have no money. The Bible doesn't say, I mean, Jesus speaks so much about investing, saving, being free of debt, earning wages, having capital and earning interest, lending, working with inheritance, giving inheritance, receiving inheritance. He talks about the difference between the rich and the poor. Jesus talks a lot about money, things that are so helpful that if you did what he said, you could have a lot of money. You really could. But the issue is not the money. The issue is who you're serving. It's God. And it's the heart. And it's what's treasured. And I do believe the kingdom of heaven requires, because we're on this earth, it requires flesh to fulfill the spiritual work of the kingdom. Amen? But that flesh has to be submitted to God. The kingdom of heaven working on earth requires money. It requires a lot of money. Because we have to deal with flesh on the earth, and we've got to do things in this earth. But we're not so tied into the stuff that if it was all taken away that we felt like we lost our identity. Hello? There's a scripture that talks about the man who built these big barns and he thought, wow, look how much I have. I've got enough for the rest of my life. It's wonderful. I can just sit back, eat, be merry, eat, drink, and be merry. And then the angel of the Lord comes to that man and says, tonight your life is required of you and you've got nothing stored in heaven. Boom, like that, gone. We spend our whole lives making sure that our bank accounts on earth are full, not giving a moment of thought to the account in heaven. Because I tell you what, heaven's a long time. Eternity's a long time to have nothing in the account. Every time you love, every time you give, every time you forgive, every time you do something in secret without telling everyone, every time you do these things, you're filling the account. Every time you worship, every time you come together, every time you help and encourage and strengthen, you're filling the account. Every time you give financially, you fill the account. Jesus said to the woman who gave 2 pennies, she has given more than all the others, even though they'd given out of their abundance. So her account was filled with more, even though she gave 2 pennies, than the one who maybe gave $90,000. I mean, think about this. This is how heaven works. God gives you R1 million. How much of that million belongs to Him? All of it. And you give back 100,000. That's powerful. But if you gave back 50,000 and somebody else earned 100 rand and gave 10 rand, who gave more? The guy who gave 10 rand. Because it's the heart. And it's the obedience. And that stores up in heaven as an account. And we'll all give an account for what we received. Every one of us. Let's do it for our master. Right, maybe if you can close your eyes, let's just... Lord Jesus, I want to pray for us here that we'd make a choice today. God or money? I pray, Lord God, that our affections would be for God, that even a message like this would be celebrated because we hear that the affection is for God and not for money. I pray today, Holy Spirit, you come and check our motives in our hearts. And you check every single person's heart here. What is their heart? Is it really for God or is it really for money? Take my money away, God, and I'll still worship you. Is that the case? Or take my money away and I'll go find another God. I want to pray, Lord God, for every single person here, Lord. Every one of us are going to come to our deathbed. And on that deathbed, are we going to say, wow, I really had a timesheet that was full of all the hours that I put in for work? Or on that deathbed, are we going to say, my God, I wish my family were here? And on that deathbed, thinking back, we'll think of family and how we loved, and maybe we take the job that requires that we spend a bit more time with our wife. Or we take the job that gives us more money, but we're never at home. Which one will you want when you're on your deathbed? But thinking ahead, when you're on your deathbed, what are you going to think you're going into? So, oh God, thank you that my life counted for your kingdom, because tomorrow when I die, tomorrow I see the reward. Or I'm on the deathbed, I'm like, oh my God, I've got no more time to see any reward. Today, we make the decision to live as if we're in heaven tomorrow. And every decision we make with our money from now on is a decision knowing that we will give an account tomorrow to the God who sees what we do. And that God wants to bless, and that what God wants to give. I mean, this is why we've been saying, do you know how blessed you are? Blessing is not money.
Blessing's a person. His name is Jesus. And yes, he's got money if you need. You just ask him, Father, give us today our daily bread. No problem.
Lord, I also want to pray for us. I pray that we'd be consistent tithers. That every person in this church would consistently tithe. I pray it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Empowered by the Spirit in every person here. Over and above giving to God what's rightfully His. I pray for all of us here to make that decision today. That as hard as it looks, as bad as it looks, if you earn 50,000 as a household, it's 5,000 rand. And that's it. I pray, Lord, the decision in our hearts would be, I'm going to do it because where my treasure is, there my heart is. And I want to pray for us as a church that we'd be way more generous than we are. That we don't just give to God, but we give to each other. That we would be those who tip the best at a restaurant. That we bless the petrol attendant. That we give, even if we don't have money, we've got shirts, we've got jerseys, we've got words, we can say nice things. Oh God, I pray for us, may we give. Holy Spirit, come and do a work in us. Do you know how blessed you are? May we realize how blessed we are. If we realize how blessed we are, then we're blessed to be a blessing. We're not blessed to stay blessed. We're not a pond, we're a river. Now, God, I pray that thing again. Jesus, today I know, tomorrow you judge me. Tomorrow I stand at judgment day. Tomorrow I stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Tomorrow, Jesus asks me for an account for every word that I've spoken. He asks me for an account for everything I've done with my hands, whether clenched or whether giving. He asked me to give an account for where I've gone, what I've looked at, what I've seen. He asked me to give an account for everything today. He asked me tomorrow to give an account of all of that. I want to ask you, Lord, for your blood right now, just to come and wash over every person's sin. Because tomorrow Jesus gives an account of how much He has forgiven you. And tomorrow Jesus gives you an account of how much He wants to use you today. And tomorrow, Jesus gives you account of all the treasure and all the beautiful things. The little thing that you did, He gives you an account of how much it changed lives in Rwanda, in Congo, in Zimbabwe, all over the world, from Cape Town to Upington, from Richards Bay to wherever. God, for everything you did, Jesus shows you. He says, you think you got to give me an account? I'm better than you. I'll give you an account. I'll show you how just the fact that you listened to a preach by some guy called Brad on the 30th of July, 2017, how the decision you made on that day, I want to give you an account, Jesus says, of how that changed the destiny and the eternity of all the nations standing before the throne. And He will show you how everything you have done has resulted in, as far as the eye can see, thousands upon thousands who are praising Him and thanking Him for you, because the little thing you did resulted in them being saved and set free from corruption. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where rust and moth and destroy and thief break in and steal. But lay up and store up and build up and treasure in heaven, where no rust or moth destroy or thief can steal. Because where your treasure is, there your heart is also.